Welcome to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean.
And you're listening to New England's foremost addiction and mental health program. Josh, how you doing?
You know, I'm just happy to be spending my Sunday evening here with you.
What could be better? It's a win-win situation.
I can think of a couple things.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to paint it nicely.
Sure.
Tonight we're talking about sober high schools. There are approximately 25,000 high schools in America, 33 of which are dedicated sober high schools, with one in five American teenagers meeting the criteria for addiction. We may need to rethink our approach to educating kids struggling with addiction. We have some guests joining us tonight in the studio. Our old friend Michelle Lipinski is the director of the North Shore Recovery High School in Beverly, Mass.
Hi, Michelle.
We have a senior from the North Shore Recovery High School. Eli is here. And we have an instructor, Jake Kessler, who is at North Shore Recovery High. As well, we have Jumani Kenrick. And Jumani is the program manager of the Changing Tracks Initiative at the William J. Ostegai High School in Boston. 2 years ago, Jumani was recognized by Mayor Menino and the Philanthropic Initiative with a Boston Neighborhood Fellows Unsung Hero Award.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Welcome, guys.
I want to know why there's a need for sober high schools. Michelle.
You're asking me why there's a need for sober high schools? Well, I think that if you're looking at the data, the need for sober high schools kind of speaks for itself. I mean, anyone that knows anything about substance use and early onset, I mean, I would say 99% of people start using before the age of 18. And those statistics are staggering. One in five meet the criteria for substance use disorder. I mean, I've worked in large high schools, I've worked in small high schools, and it's just, you know, typically not addressed.
Yeah, only 33 out of 25,000. So what's stopping there? What's, you know, stopping the progress from these schools popping up more and more?
I think there's still stigma, believe it or not, around people who use. I know it's hard to believe, but I think that because of the stigma to address it, for a superintendent or anyone in the school board to say we have a problem with drugs or alcohol, we need to address that in the school system, I think is a scary thing.
Sure.
I think it's really hard. And I also think there's a funding piece because it costs a lot to educate children who are struggling with substance use disorders and co-occurring and mental health and IEPs and you name it. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So to do it well, which is what Massachusetts is doing it well, it costs some money.
Sure.
Are you guys attached at North Shore to any specific school system, or is it a community thing?
No, we work with our parent organization is the North Shore Education Consortium. It's a collaborative of 20 school districts. So my board of directors are 20 superintendents of those school districts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Jumani, tell us about Ostegai High School.
So Ostegai High School is one of the four recovery high schools in actual Massachusetts out of those 33 that you're talking about across the country,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's actually the only one in Boston, which is kind of a... It's really difficult when you have one city such as Boston with one recovery high school and not too many slots, and then we're dealing, like you said, with, you know, this overwhelming issue of students having substance abuse issues in high school. So it's the only one. It's located Temple Place, downtown Boston. And it's really, I want to say this in a way where we're talking about recovery high schools, that we have to, the approach that we have now, it's really different from any other recovery high school. And when I say that, it's about... the referral process and the actual the access that we are providing students to get into different treatment services and not actually having to be transferred out, but they can also be a student of Ostegai High School and also still be in a treatment service facility, or they can be in a detox and things of that nature and still attend our school. Most of the times you have, it's either or. You know, we have it where it's both. You're in the treatment and you're also getting high school education at the same time. So that's a little bit unique from other recovery high schools in a way.
Which is wonderful. It doesn't.
Yeah.
The kids don't get detracted from being able to finish
exactly.
your academic course.
Because it feels punitive sometimes.
Sure,
you know,
very much.
Versus
yeah.
A holistic approach.
Will somebody stay in Ostegai for the whole high school?
They could. They really could. I mean. And they're staying in the whole, it depends on what level that they come in, what mm-hmm. grade they actually come in. They can stay there. Sometimes they're in 11th grade, but they can actually finish sooner than a year, depending on where they're at academically. So it's not like, you know, you do 3 years. If you're in 9th grade, you have another 3 years to go. You can actually finish sooner than you can if you put your plan together appropriately.
So, Eli. You're a student at North Shore Recovery High School.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you ended up at the school?
So I had been using in all throughout high school, previously to Recovery High School, freshman year, sophomore year, and about halfway through sophomore year, I had gotten in trouble, and I toured at Recovery High School because my mom had told me about it, and I heard that it was just a good place, like people truly like cared for you. It wasn't like you didn't have the normal high school drama, and so I went with my mom. I toured the school, and it was just different than regular high school. Like teachers were like laughing, teachers were talking with students, teachers, and like in my experience, like I get along more with the teachers rather than the students, mm-hmm. because a lot of the teachers are also in recovery, and like that means that they have a lot of time and experience in being sober for a long period of time. So I kind of like gravitated more towards them, but like along with that, I did make some good friendships with the students there. And right now we actually, there's a good program of recovery going on, and like you're obviously going to have students that are still using, because that's just, you get that wherever you go. And but right now a good portion of the students are sober, so.
And at least here it sounds like they have a chance, if they are still using, to still be a part of this community and still be dialed in. Is that accurate, Michelle?
Well, I think it's important to say that we stick with him through the recovery process. I mean, okay. Eli kind of has fits and starts in his recovery, just like every other adolescent, mm-hmm. so we don't expect it to look like point A to point B is going to be a straight line. I want to be really clear that you probably used, I mean, you were off and on for about a year and a half before he really kind of discovered his program.
Sure. And such is the nature of addiction.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that what's important is that, yeah, we didn't lose sight of what Eli needed along the way.
So what's, I want to go talk to each one of you. Jumani, what's the curriculum like? How does it differ from other high schools in Boston?
A regular high school, you have what? You have a schedule where, you know, you have the core classes and whatnot. You have, like, what, three different sciences, something like that, three different maths that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. Here, the setup is, once again, it's one of those, you know, you can do it online. You can have portfolios, you know. You can also do, there is actually a possibility that you can actually access the homework and things from home, where you don't actually have to be at the high school. If you go through sometimes where you're off and on, you're relapsing, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique setup depending on what the situation is for the student. It's not a traditional high school setting where it's this structure of rigmarole.
Sure.
And Michelle, what's the curriculum like at North Shore Recovery High School?
It's very similar. I mean, we work with competency, so once the student meets the competency, we would never, a lot of our students have taken Algebra 1 17 times because, right. you know, they've been in and out of treatment.
That actually sounds like
that. So, you know, instead of them having to take it again, they'll be able to kind of figure out where they are, meet the competency, and move on. So we can, just like Jumanji, you can move kind of faster through the curriculum because it's more individualized. It's a smaller group.
Are students issued like a caseworker, like a case manager, a therapist, any sort of, you know, track like that?
No, we have one clinical social worker. We have a few interns. We have a guidance counselor. But really what we try to promote is that every Thursday at our staff meeting, we try to figure out who's connecting with whom. Mm-hmm. And then that person will check in with whoever student for their recovery planning.
Gotcha. How large are the classes at the school?
For each class, there's about 8 to 3 kids.
Okay.
Wow.
8 on a good day.
Yeah.
So, and Jumani, at Ostagai, what's the size of the student body?
Oh, it's probably at right now 30 students, I want to say. Okay. It fluctuates between like 23 to 30 during the year. So, like you said, 8 students per class. We have, 4 classes going on at one time.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's the same setup in a way. And also with the case managers piece, though, we have case managers through the Change and Tracks initiative mm-hmm. that we do. So we have case managers that actually there's new positions and it's needed. And that's why, you know, you had to look at those things over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, the interesting part is, I mean, it's the need, having seen a lot of adolescents and doing, you know, working in the field, it's amazing the need for this, or just to address recovery, address addiction treatment, all that at that age.
I kid you not, I wish there were schools like this when I was growing up.
Absolutely.
Because what I saw was kids in public schools who would get in trouble for, you know, some sort of drinking or drugging, and they'd expel them. They'd kick them right out of the school.
Like you said, the punitive thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's you're not keeping them engaged. You're losing so many people
Absolutely.
To that. And you're creating, like you said, you get along, like you said, Eli, you get along almost better with the teachers because you have a common ground with them. Yeah. So this is a fascinating subject. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Jake Kessler and find out what it's like to work with this population at the school. And we're talking about sober high schools. We'll be back right after a break. Talk to you, Jumani, about it says you're the program manager of the Changing Tracks initiative. Can you tell us about what that is?
So Changing Tracks actually came about because of, you know, over the years, the school's been in existence for over 7 years, and through time they actually were getting students of color, but they weren't able to retain them or actually identify certain things with students of color, so they weren't staying. So what we had found that in order for us to actually get them and keep them is that we had to have a different approach, which we turned into a community approach, and we actually had to catch them before they were, you know, mandated to come to our school, or it was just something that they weren't familiar with because the students of color just weren't familiar with, like, treatment services.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one student in particular that actually went through the school, graduated, and it was that student who actually inspired on how to get other students of color into the school and why they actually stayed. So his feedback was real helpful on how Change the Tracks initiative came about, where it's not actually a school-based initiative, it's a community initiative. And what we're doing is that we're catching the kids in the high schools that are being expelled and suspended for coming to school smelling or using marijuana or possessing different types of drugs inside the school, where they're either being sent to the court systems or they're being expelled. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is that we're either going to the courts or we're in the high schools, and we're making sure instead of them being sent to expulsion or to the detention centers or to prison, that they can actually be sent to Changing Tracks, which will help them work on various issues such as substance abuse, but also other things that are making them or helping them use other drugs, where it comes to Corey issues, where
sure.
it comes to family counseling, when it comes to just basic eating and necessities that need on a daily basis, that we're helping them get those different types of services.
So you're treating a big picture.
Yeah.
And from the first kind of word you get of somebody at risk, and when they land in the high school, how long is that average?
So were you saying that how long is their stay?
Yeah. If you hear of somebody mm-hmm. and you say, okay, here's a student at risk.
Okay.
How long before they enter your high school?
Well, it depends, because they don't even have to become a student of our high school. What happens is that they get assigned a case manager of Changing Tracks, which we will follow with a person within the 24, 48 hours from the actual referral process.
Okay.
We sit down and do a needs assessment, and we figure out if this school or whatever those services that they may need. Sometimes they don't need to have a transfer. Sometimes they can also get the services in the school that they're at. If they do want to do a transfer, we can do that in a 24, 48-hour
wow.
period as well. Yeah, it's very quick, because we don't want to have this time lapsing where we lose them in that time of they make the decision to want to get the supports and services.
And you're funded by the city of Boston?
Yeah, so it's a collaboration. It's operated by ABCD.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collaboration between the Gavin Foundation and Boston Public Schools.
Great.
So they are Boston Public School students, and most of them aren't. They come from different areas, but we also can still accept them because it's a public recovery high school. But our initiative as well doesn't just, our reach also reaches further than Boston. So
that's awesome. Michelle, let me ask you, what does a typical student look like at North Shore? What is like the, you know, sort of the broad stroke picture of a kid who needs recovery high school?
I would say our school is reflective of the recovery community or of the treatment community. I mean, if you walk into any treatment center, it tends to be that same homogenous look to it. We have done a lot of outreach. We work with the court system. We work with DYS. We work with, you know, same thing with school districts who are struggling with this, and we try to get as much diversity into the school as possible. But it really is a reflection of the recovery and the treatment community.
Nice.
So, but you know, same thing. 16 to 19, we do take students who have, you know, previous records. And.
And you mentioned earlier maybe some co-occurring disorders, mental health issues.
A lot of co-occurring. We have a lot of students. What we've seen is a big increase in of students who have been eligible for free and reduced lunch. So a lot more of the students who are falling beneath the poverty level.
Sure.
From any background.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our students are in more needs, I think a higher needs than they were, I would say, 9 years ago when we started. They're really acute right now.
Yeah.
What are the challenges working with this population compared to, you know, if you were just working in the school district on the North Shore?
You know what? I think I'll ask Jake to answer that. He was working in Gloucester Public Schools, and when he started with us, I think there was a big change in, and he didn't know he wanted to be a teacher, so I'm going to...
No, I didn't. I fell into this. It was an accident. I'm a member of the sober community myself, so I was doing what I know to do and talking to kids and ended up finding about this great place on the North Shore. The difference that I saw primarily was that there is a genuine care for these kids, based on the fact that I was working in a middle school, and it seemed like, this isn't to indict anybody, but it seemed like the goal was to get the kids to be somebody else's problem.
Right.
And so what I loved when I started working at Recovery High School in Beverly was... it's our problem, and we take that seriously because I get to work with some of the most amazingly talented, compassionate, intelligent kids, and I have personal experience with what it's like to be passed on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So that population, and you get to work directly with them too, Jumani.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of resistance when you first encounter these kids?
It is, because I'm dealing with a population that doesn't even recognize that they have a substance abuse issue.
Yeah.
So. So that's a lot of it, just getting them to just understand and identify what the issue is, what's dependency, and so they can say, hey, this is actually my issue, because they don't think they have. When it's a real, the things that we say in the recovery community, like certain language, it has a different stigma in the community of color.
Yeah, sure.
So,
sure.
That's the hardest part, just having a common conversation.
Well, and during the break, too, yeah. You were saying a lot of the violence that you've seen in emergency room visits, et cetera, it stems from some sort of substance abuse.
Exactly, because they're, you know, they're self-medicating from whatever their social issues are already.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and it, in turn, it turns into some of those violent injuries that happens, and then it spirals out of control when you now have the pain on top of the emotional pain at the same time.
Wow.
And Eli spoke a little about kind of, you know, in and out of recovery a little bit, which is the nature that, you know, we know of recovery. And I'm wondering how your respective schools deal with relapse, how they deal with meeting the students where they're at, and what the policies are, if there's any, around that.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is we don't kick kids out. I mean, I don't think any of the schools would do that anyway. But I think the biggest piece is that we promote trust.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's funny, because at the beginning of the school year, we were changing up our drug testing policy. And so students were, we were going to drug test them upon suspicion, which was a really bad idea, because we had for 8 years had always done it kind of randomly. And so we had students coming up to us that first or second week saying, I didn't get tested this week. You need to test me. So, you know, it was a really good, for me, to have the students coming up to me and saying, hey, that keeps me honest, that keeps me, you know, working a program,
right.
Drug test me more. It was really an eye-opening experience.
That's
wonderful. So I think, yeah, we just add services as needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested, Jake, you're a music teacher, correct?
Yes.
Real quickly, before we go to the break, what is your curriculum like? What are you working on right now with the students?
I run an integrated music class, so we don't just do music theory. It was a challenge that we had trying to teach a linear subject in a school with rolling admissions and kids going to treatment and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we do kind of a wraparound. So I just finished up a unit on reggae where we talked about Bob Marley. We learned about his politics. We learned about the history of Jamaica. And they they got a chance to do some lyric analysis of No Woman, No Cry, and they all got to learn to play the song. And that's kind of the general mode. And, well, I think we're doing the blues in one of my classes right now, and then we're doing hip-hop in the other.
That's Josh and I will be in your class in the morning.
Come on. Yeah, I'm enrolling.
About sober education, sober high schools. It's needed in this country. It's I think Massachusetts is probably in the vanguard.
Sounds like we're the front runner.
But it's still falling behind as far as the need that's out there. And we have Michelle Lipinski, who's the director of the North Shore Recovery High School. We have Jumani Kendrick, who is program manager of the Changing Tracks Initiative at the William Ostegai High School in Boston, which is a recovery high school. We have Eli, who's a senior at North Shore Recovery High School, and we have Jake Kessler, who's a music teacher. And Josh and I are going to go to his music class all week.
Yes, can't wait.
But Eli, we kind of wanted to know a little about what a typical day is like for you at your recovery high school.
So, we get to school and we usually have two classes, and then we have two of the classes I have, in the morning I have a teacher assistant class where I actually help, Jake teach, a music class. I kind of show kids basics on audio production and stuff like that. Then my second block, I have my regular class in music, which is we learn about what Jake was saying, we learn about history of different genres of music. Then after that, we have kind of a community meeting where we basically address what's going on in the school, kind of how people are feeling, any anniversaries, if you have 1 or 2 months clean, you'll announce that and you get a round of applause.
That's awesome.
And we also usually read something that one of the students has wrote, a poem or kind of a story or something like that. Then after that, we have two more classes. Then we have lunch, which is about half hour. And then after that, we have two more classes. And then that's pretty much the whole day.
And Eli, this seems like it's been a really positive experience for you. Was it an initial positive reaction when mom came to you and said, hey, it's time to go to a recovery high school? I would assume, maybe there were some mixed feelings before you found out what the school was all about.
Definitely. Yeah, there were a lot of mixed feelings. I came to the school under the impression that I could still use, mm-hmm. and use in safety at least, and that wasn't exactly the case. Mm-hmm. I had gotten in trouble, and then I came to the school, and I still wanted to hang out with all my old friends, all the people that I had grown up with, and I come to this school and I see a bunch of kids that are kind of just honestly kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be a part of it. I just kind of stayed to myself, and I was begging my mom to take me out. And then I started just creating friendships based on the fact that we're all struggling and we all need some kind of support. And eventually I just found my place in the school, and that's pretty much what you have to do. You can't isolate yourself and based on different background traits that you have.
Sure. Yeah.
How has going to the school changed your view of recovery?
Before I went to the school, I didn't even know that recovery was a thing.
Mm.
I thought that it was you either use or you don't use. And I had no outlet for a recovery program. I just was under the impression that I'm screwed for life because I have this thing that I need to constantly fill with drugs and alcohol. And coming to Recovery High School, I learned a different way out and how I could kind of just have the support that I need through experience, through other people's experience, to kind of just show me a different way of life almost.
That's pretty profound.
That's a lot of depth for a young man.
Though. Yeah, and you say you're planning on going to college after you graduate?
Yes.
Great.
I'm looking into community college for a year or two and then transferring to more of a university type of school.
So the school has had an impact on your life?
Definitely. There's no doubt in my mind that I would have dropped out or been expelled.
So you don't think you'd be on the same path were it not for North Shore?
Not at all. No, not at all.
It's kind of beautiful. Michelle, what's it like hearing something like that from one of your kids?
Honestly, it's the typical story. A lot of students, they're never exposed to recovery or even given the opportunity. I mean, we always say that we're just planting seeds, and then when you have stories like this, once again, I'm incredibly proud. I know how hard they work every day. I've seen Eli in really horrible situations, and it's phenomenal to finally see him on the other side. So I guess for me to hear it, I've lived it with him. You know, this isn't a treatment program, because we see him every single day for day after day for year after year.
Sure.
So we become really close to them. So I live it with him, and I have chills. I'm so proud of him. But it's a typical story. It's one of those where you plant the seeds, they're going to catch on. They have to. But I think the important piece of that is that he didn't realize he had a problem. He thought he was screwed for the rest of his life.
And I think what's important to say right here is that being a teenager, an adolescent in any high school setting is incredibly stressful. In schools now, in public schools, private schools, whatever, just the amount of what we used to call peer pressure, but the amount of substance use and abuse around people and the amount of stuff that goes on is incredible. So there's all these different pressures on these kids, and to do something like what you've done, Eli, is to make that break and kind of, you know, make a decision to give it a try is really difficult, because we've been through the same thing, and you know, that's the last thing you want to do is look different, want to be different, or say, you know, like you said, you didn't know there was any other way. So our hats are off to you. I'm wondering how you guys, Jumani and Michelle, how you deal with you know, the substance use that's inevitably going to happen in the schools, and how you get, you know, if somebody's in a high school and they're smoking marijuana every day, how is that different from the person that ends up in your guys' school?
Yeah.
Well, so what happens at first if, you know, a student is relapsing? You know, we're not expelling them. We're not suspending them. It's no punitive things that's happening. We want to make sure that when it does happen that they feel comfortable enough to come to us as staff, to where we can actually help them with whatever's going on with them. So from that point, we're just trying to provide the services or treatment if this is a bigger issue than actually something that we can do on school campus, or that they need some outside outpatient treatment, things of that nature. So that's the first part with that. And I guess with the marijuana piece, though, with the constant abuse of that, it's the decrease of use. That's what we're trying to do with marijuana, honestly. It's one of those things where they're going to use it almost as if it's, they think it's nicotine, they don't think it's right. Actual drug. So we're actually just trying to educate about what this marijuana thing is at first.
Sure.
You know, because you know another drug, people know what those are.
Yeah.
But marijuana is not a drug to the community.
Like, no, it's so ingrained in the culture of a young person.
Yeah, increasing the awareness around marijuana is the biggest thing right now.
Yeah.
So Michelle, at North Shore, You see, Eli talked a little about that, but what would be, when do the alarms go up and you get somebody in, and how do you meet them where they're at your school?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that weed does bring people to their knees. You know, it affects their brains differently. So we don't have this, you know, this drug is worse than this drug, which is worse than this drug, because I've seen it have an effect. I mean, especially alcohol, which is, you know, so much more readily available and acceptable. So I think that what we do is we say to them, where is your point? Like, when is it? So when he was trying to, Eli was trying to control his weed smoking, he would say, I'm only going to smoke weed twice a week. Like, we would have a plan, and he would say, I'm only going to use it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'm only going to buy a dime bag, and I'm only going to do this. So at the end of the week, we'd be like, so how did you manage that? And he was like, yeah, that didn't work out so well. You know, but once again, it was an honest conversation. It was a, and then it became, holy hell, I drank too much. And that, I mean, so it's an honest conversation, and then they come it to themselves. Like, I don't have to beat it into them, because they're realizing along the path, oh my God, I just broke my own.
They're discovering it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for us, it's not us going, you're bad, it's punitive, here you go. It's about, wow, you try to manage it, and how come that didn't work?
And that's putting the power back in the students' hands.
Yep.
This is a great topic. We're talking about sober education, sober high schools. You're listening to Right Turn Radio. We're starting to realize during the break, Josh, that this is a big subject, that it's more than just, you know, sober high schools, which there's a huge need for.
Right.
There's a need for more support for teens in schools.
And this progressive, forward-thinking approach of, like, let's help these kids before it gets to a point where it's out of control.
If you just go from the financial aspect of it, it's harm, and we're getting in there and we're doing some prevention.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And Eli had quite a story that we were listening to. It's just, I'm grateful that you guys are out there doing this work.
Yeah, very much.
And you know, it's the front lines, really, because we know that if people can get through their teens and there's an intervention that happens in the teens, people with substance abuse disorders do much, much better. And if they can get those early interventions, and even if they continue, they still have that anchor of the early interventions. Yeah. So it's important work that gets done.
So Michelle and Jumani, I wanted to ask, these kids who you see coming into these schools, are they voluntary? Do they go there because they've been arrested? I'm assuming there's some sort of relationship with the courts or probation.
It's all of the above.
Yeah.
Because a few different ways how we get students. We do a community outreach piece where I actually go to schools and actually talk to the students about what Changing Tracks is and what Ostagah High is, because no one really knows about Ostagah High. That's another reason why students are actually being referred to the actual school, because they don't even know it exists. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And then also creating those relationships inside the courts and different community organizations where I'm having presentations and talking about Changing Tracks and Ostagah High, about how to actually what we do and how to get students over to us.
What's been their response? Courts and probation.
They wish they would have had this sooner,
Wonderful.
Because most of their young people are using some type of drug, coming back with dirty urines, and that's a big issue of the probation violation or being inside the courts, where it's actually promoting a different culture, where you say, hey, you think you could come to school high every day and smell like this, and it's actually making other students think that this is okay. Hmm. So it creates more students coming into school high or, you know, under the influence somehow.
Yeah.
So they love it. They love it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, if you're engaging kids and they're not popping in, I mean, if you're doing anything to keep them out of the court system, you're helping everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the courts always recognize that. Do you guys feel that you have good relationships with law enforcement and the legal system?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, we work really closely. I have in all the schools that I've worked at, always worked really closely with probation. And I work closely with probation and also the Beverly School Police Department. They're actively, I would say, and Eli can attest to this, they're probably there a couple times a week. And we work together. We work in tandem. It's not just my issue or their issue. We work together. And it's been really great having law enforcement kind of in the same realm. I know it scares the students a lot because you see them walking. It's very intimidating. However, it's also very important them to know if you do cross a line, we're going to have to make that determination. It's not always so wishy-washy.
And how does the other folks in the Boston Public Schools, the other principals, or the other principals in the North Shore, how are they, how do they view your programs?
Well, they view the program you know, their perspective on it is helpful because, you know, it's a tricky piece when you have to have students in the school to actually keep the school up, you know, because yeah. the tuition keeps, you know, the school afloat. But at the same time, you have to also address the student's issue and how, instead of sending them to OSTAGIZE sometimes, they can be sent to the actual counseling intervention center that they have, where it's somewhat of a detention center, but at the same time, we are placed inside there for a substance abuse program that we have in there. We call it SAP. So they don't always have to come to OSTAGIZE. They actually go down to the counseling intervention center, and where they're in there as a resource when they're getting sent over there for the drug use. So they don't actually have to be sent out of the school.
And you're taking the journey with them.
Yeah. We follow them from there.
Nice.
Let's say I'm a parent with a at-risk teen in the public school system. Michelle, how do I find help through you guys? What would be my first step?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of steps to take before you come to us. I think that's the most important piece. I mean, there's really great treatment programs out there. I mean, mm-hmm. we're part of the Continuum for the Public Health and Department of Public Health. And just like, you know, Jumanji was saying, like, they have Changing Tracks. They have inpatient, outpatient programs. I think there's a big continuum. If they want to find me, I'll typically meet with them and their families. And only one in probably every five people I meet is eligible to come to my school, because I don't want to put them into this level of care if I don't want it to get worse. I think sure. that's the biggest piece of this. You want to right. make sure that you're the right student, you're going to be doing the right thing, and you're here for the right reasons. Because it would be really great to be a kid who's casually using, surrounding yourself with 40 kids who all have really good dealers, you know? So I think there's a piece of this that I just got to own, you know? I think that's the reality, I think, of what the perception of a lot of the local, you know, as far as the rest of the schools would think, that these are the bad kids, and they don't hear the stories of Eli, which is they're there, they plant seeds, they get better. So I think that they're sending us these students, and they're pretty broken, and they don't get to see the rewards from that.
Mm. So they find tough. You. They're coming yeah. through. The system somehow.
They find me, and then I'll typically say, hey, I don't know if this is a great referral, but you know what I can do is I can kind of pass you off to another agency, because there are so many community agencies.
And the average length of time a student would be with you is how long?
You know, we have a... Most of our students end up staying with us for a long period of time. I would say over 90% of our students will matriculate with us.
Yeah.
This has been a great show.
We could really do three shows.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I first of all want to thank Eli for stepping up and coming down. Yeah. And
happy upcoming graduation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Good work. I want to thank Jake Kessler, music teacher at North Shore Recovery High, man after my own heart, who's a fellow musician. Michelle Lipinski, director of North Shore Recovery High, good friend of the show. You guys are welcome back anytime. Jumanji Kendrick, who is helps I want to make sure I say this right. He's the program manager at Changing Tracks Initiative with the City of Boston, William OSTAGIZE High School in Boston. We've read a lot about this place. We're hearing good things. We're really happy with the work you guys are doing. We want to have you all back on the show.
Thank you so much.
And thanks so much. You've been listening to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. Check us out at right-turn.org. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean. Remember, be safe and ask for help.